WellMed is directly supported by our listeners of this show. Head on over to patreon.com/WellMedPodcast and find out how you can get involved. Enjoy the show? Join our Discord community. Share deck lists, meet new friends, discuss strategy, and more at discord.me/WellMedPodcast. This episode of WellMed is brought to you by Legion by Lenovo and Intel. Find out more about Legion by Lenovo on Twitter and Facebook at Legion by Lenovo.
You're listening to WellMed.
WellMed.
A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
WellMed.
Everybody, welcome to episode number 111, 111th birthday. Sorry, I'm a Lord of the Rings guy. If you get that quote, send me an email. And first one to do it, I'm going to send you a t-shirt. Anyways, hey, welcome to episode 111 of WellMed. We're a Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com. Today is June 12, 2017 from Studio 5 in Denver, Colorado. I'm John Horstman. With me, of course, is the crew. We've actually got a guest with us this week. It's a wild week in Hearthstone, pun intended. Anyways, and so we wanted to bring on somebody who could really emphasize what's going on in the world of wild Hearthstone this week. And so we brought on a listener of the show as well as high-end contributor to the wild community, and awesome gaming name, Danny Donuts. Danny, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, how's it going, guys? It's great to be here. Long time listener of the show. I'm glad to be on it.
It was kind of funny how everything transpired. It transpired this morning of like, we need to change this up. Let's make this a wild show. You've been active in our Discord for a long time talking about wild. And I'm like, boom, that's the guy. Let's get him. And so it's going to be an awesome show. We're super happy to have you this week.
It's going to be a wild one.
Don't tell anybody about what goes on before the show. That's like it's like an exclusive club, the WellMed pre-show club.
Lips are sealed.
Perfect.
It'd be a boring story anyway.
Anyways, from, I almost said Saskatoon, from Kansas City, it's J.R. Cook. Hey, J.R.
Hey, John, how's it going? I got a question for you, John.
Yeah.
You've started the show now several times, many times, maybe 111 times.
111 times.
From Studio 5 in Denver, Colorado. And I've always been curious, why Studio 5?
So Studio 5 is actually new. Studio 5 is new. It's this setup that you see me in right now. And Studio 5 is the fifth major iteration I've made on the studio. Since I started WellMed, or not started, since I joined WellMed for episode one and started my podcasting studio journey. So this is Studio 5. If I move or do a major revamp of it, it'll be Studio 6. So
shows how much I paid attention. I thought you were doing it this whole time.
No, I never.
I just now somehow noticed it.
No, not at all. This is the like second or third week I've called it Studio 5. So, yeah. Sorry. at least you caught it this time, though. I mean, hey, thanks for asking. Anyways, let's go ahead and jump in. JR, I know you had one thing you wanted to talk about really quick before we jump into getting to know Danny a little bit better.
Sure. I was going to talk about THL a little bit, but I'm going to skip that because I lost and it sucked, but I'll do better next week. The main thing I did want to talk about though, was this weekend, this upcoming Saturday, which is the 17th, case if you're in the Kansas City area, there is still tickets for the KC Fireside, the Kansas City Fireside Gathering that we're having at the Boulevard Brewing Company. If you are 21 and over and want to come and partake in some Boulevard beer and wine and play some Hearthstone for a few hours and meet some awesome people, there are still tickets available over at kcfiresides.com. They are $25 a piece, and I would love to see you there.
Yeah, I'm super bummed. I couldn't make it work to go this time around, but I'm pretty committed to making it to one this year at some point. So have fun. Have a beer for me, JR, and have a good time.
I will. It'll be a good time. You will be missed.
All right. Well, let's get to know Danny a little bit here. So Danny, in a nutshell, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're currently doing in the Hearthstone community.
Yeah, sure. So I've been playing, like a lot of people say, I've been playing since beta. So getting to where I am now, pretty much what I've been doing is I started off as a normal player, just playing standard. And at one point when Old Gods came out, I really started to feel that I really liked Wild better. I liked having the ability to play cards like Sludge Belcher, you have Lotheb, you have other anti-aggro cards. And I was not particularly a fan of some of the aggro Smork decks. So that really led me into the Wild community. And I got in at the ground level. From there, I got to essentially see the meta develop, see everything grow from the ground. Because it was a rather small community in the beginning. And it's still relatively small compared to the normal like Reddit-sized Hearthstone community. But it's definitely on its way up. It's growing. And this tournament that came up this weekend is definitely showcases that.
Yeah, I'm really excited to chat with you a little bit more about. I got to watch, I would say, about 75% of the Wild tournament. It was kind of nuts. If you have an Apple TV, if you have the newest one and you have the App Store on it, there's an app called Quad Stream. What it lets you do is watch four streams at once on your TV. And so I had two of my favorite streamers open, and then I had the Wild open on one, and the Overwatch Contenders was also going on this weekend. So I had that open there and I was keeping an eye on both and just kind of felt really powerful having all these different streams open at once. So yeah, anyways, there's a tip for you Apple TV owners. I don't know if they have it on any other smart TV or platforms, but if they do, just check it out. I'm sure you'll find something. That's cool, man. Well, I missed my question. So here's something I'm going off the cuff here for a second while sure. Chrome reboots. Hearthstone to me personally, one of the most difficult things to navigate through is the staleness of the game. Sometimes you deal with a lot of stale metas. Now with Wild only changing essentially once a year and only bringing in a smaller and smaller percentage of new cards, do you find that Wild kind of remains, is kind of stale? Or do you think that because you have those consistencies, there's a lot more opportunity and there's so many more cards that there's a lot more opportunities for innovation?
I would definitely say it's the exact opposite of being stale. Because there are so many cards, you can build so many different types of decks, and the little changes that you make to a deck will really stand out. Like different anti-aggro cards, things that you'd never think of, like, I don't know, Annoyotron. You never really think about using that in certain decks, but playing that is definitely really entertaining when you make a little tiny shift in the meta to counter different things. And the vast card pool is definitely, it gives you a lot of toys to play around with.
Cool. Okay. I know it's like I'm on the mic, but you can say, no, John, you're wrong. I'm 100% okay with that. Sure. Feel free to just be like, no, John, you're wrong. It's about three memes away from being a well-met t-shirt. So You know, keep that going. That's totally fine.
I'm already making that t-shirt right now, John.
So, Danny, how do you stay up to date? There's a lot of stuff going on in Hearthstone, and I imagine it's the same. And you're contributing to the new Vicious Syndicate Data Reaper report for the wild side of things. You're playing the game at a high level. How are you staying up to date?
Sure. So besides the normal going on the Reddit, competitive Hearthstone, the Hearthstone Reddit, I typically stick to some of the Discords, who that's where a lot of the conversation happens, in my opinion. Yeah. We actually have one. It's the Wild Hearthstone Discord, where a lot of the wild stuff goes down. I think around we had 10 people from our Discord, maybe a little bit more. I'm not sure. One guy actually got one away, made the tournament, qualified for the tournament. So we got a lot of people who are pretty good, and we like to communicate there. So a lot of interchanging of ideas there.
Discord is such a freaking cool tool. Like, I love Reddit. Amazing. Don't get me wrong. I spend a lot of time on Reddit. I'm also like a very mobile heavy user. I'm like a min maxer when it comes to like the different platforms I have and all those things. Discord has changed my life. So I'm not joking. If you're listening to this show and you heard it at the bumper in the beginning, join our Discord and join these other Discord communities. It's overwhelming to have like 30 Discord servers, but even if you start by joining one or two and getting involved in those communities, it's awesome. Discord.me/WellMetPodcast. Go right there. Okay. All right, Danny, two more questions and we're moving on. Actually, three. What's your most memorable moment as a Hearthstone player or spectator? So it could have been a moment you witnessed or one that you were directly involved in. Besides being on the show,
my most memorable moment would probably be the Raynad text-to-speech stream. That was I was in that chat, and that yes. was one of the most funniest moments that I've ever had with regards to Hearthstone.
Can you give us the PG version of that for those who may not have been a part of the?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I think it was the first time that Raynad turned on text to speech, and a bunch of people donated things in, and like the amount of memery that went around in that chat was off the levels.
Memery.
It was off the chart.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. That was a really good PG way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah. A couple of them were a little bit. Non-PG, but just go check it out yourself.
Yeah, for sure. If you're okay, there are some crazy ones.
Yeah, there are some that are a little
tasteless. I mean, if you've been to a Raynad stream before, it's one of the least modded large communities on Twitch, I would say. So you've got that. All right, next one. This one should be easy. What's your favorite card in Hearthstone?
I'm gonna go with Lothib. You got to go, if you guys don't know, for you non-wild viewers, 5 mana, 5/5. Next turn, your enemy spells cost 5 more. With the way that the meta is developing and everything, you can play it in almost every deck. You play it in a control deck to try to counter some combo from Miracle Rogue coming through, or you can stop Aggro Druid going and Savage Roaring your board. I think that's my favorite thing because you interact with your opponent on their turn, which is a little bit light in Hearthstone.
Bring back Lothab. Bring back. I get it. I want a Michael Jordan, Brett Favre coming out of retirement thing for Lothab to bring it back into standard, because I loved Lothab, even though we're going to talk about this in a little bit, but the initial kind of design concept for Lothab is pretty interesting. So we'll chat about that for a second. And last one, what are you most looking forward to from Hearthstone in the rest of 2017?
Well, in the near future, next month, I'm looking forward to the Wild Championship. That should be a blast. See some really powerful, really, really good players put together on the big stage.
Awesome. Cool. There it is. That's a little bit about Danny Donuts. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at DannyDonuts_HS. And we'll tell you where to find him everywhere else at the end of the show. Let's jump into the news.
Journey to Un'Goro.
Round one.
This Week in Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft.
Pressing buttons is hard. Before we get started, we do want to thank our well-met legends, Albert T., The Real Ben, and Corel. Thank you so much for your support of Well-Met. If you want to continue to support the show, help us bring on awesome guests, help us make our show look and sound great, or, you know, just support the hosts who dedicate their time and effort into making this show great, head on over to patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. Find out how you can get involved. So, first things first, we've got a new Hearthstone Mulligans episode coming up. And it is a doozy, that is for sure. The Gul'dan, Jaina, and Uther and that one guy are going to an art gallery, I guess. And a Gul'dan gets all insightful about the piece of art they're looking at. JR, what did you think about this one? Does it live up to Shotgun?
It does not live up to Shotgun. I honestly, I didn't find it that amusing. I was like, okay. That was a thing, I guess. It felt like the first one to me, where I'm just like, yeah, Shotgun. But Shotgun was so great, I don't know if it can be topped. So, I do enjoy the fact that they are doing these. Like people keep calling them ads, but it's not really an ad in my opinion. It's just a fun little short video that they're putting out once a week. Kind of similar to the little projects that they did with like World of Warcraft back in the day, where they did that weird Azeroth choppers thing.
Yeah.
You know, those, or the one where they were making like that armorsmith guy was making like some of the weapons from the game or things like that. You know, I don't really consider those ads either, even though they kind of are. These are just fun little just short videos that I think the most interesting thing to me about these videos, though, is I'm analyzing them way too much on wondering if the guy is imagining these characters behind them, or if they're really there, and that whole psychoanalysis thing going on. Like, is Gul'dan the devil and the bad guy? And is Uther, you know, like the good guy, you know, the old like right and left shoulder thing going on?
Gul'dan's always talking about souls. He's always like, oh, I mean, that's the classic warlock thing. But still, right, if you want to look at it from that thing, he's always talking about reaping souls.
Right. It's like the Tom and Jerry little angel devil on the shoulder thing. Yeah.
And then you throw in sarcastic Jaina out of nowhere.
Then you have Jaina
talk bad about ex-girlfriends or something. You know.
Maybe it's more like the seven deadly sins than it is good and evil. But yeah, I like that, JR. I did not know that you'd be so insightful about a series that you you were so quick to be like, I don't really know. Shotguns forever. So
hey, I still watch it. So they've got that going for them.
It's true. I will always watch these as well. I really like them. Danny, what do you think, man? Are you a fan of this series? Were you a fan of this one?
Yeah. Well, I like the whole thing in general. I definitely feel that Shotgun was the best one. But they were actually pretty good in the Wild Tourney. They had them as the bumpers instead of ads. So I thought that was pretty neat. It was a pretty good use of them.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. I they're just fun to talk about. We always talk about them every week that they come out because it's fun. I don't want them to make this a TV show. Some of the plot lines are a little on the nose and rehashed, but you know, hey, more power to them. Next
better up, than Guac Boy.
That's my guac. Anyways, sorry. Oh. That was not that bad, actually. Anyways, Kriparian pressed the button this week, which was pretty exciting. It blew up the internet, despite it being like the least climactic thing to ever happen in Hearthstone.
But also the most predictable, in my opinion.
Right? It's like, what did you expect to happen? It's like when people tune in for like the Super Bowl halftime show now, because we had like 3 years where things just were messed up and they just expect things to get messed up every time. But this did not happen. So JR, can you kind of give us the highlights here on like what is the button and why is Crip pressing it?
Yeah, so the button in this case is the mass disenchant button. And Crip has been saving up all of his duplicates and not pressing that button for a long, long time, since basically the beginning of Hearthstone. The idea was, I believe, that he was going to press it once he had enough to be able to craft a full golden set of everything that was out. But it was to the point where they're bringing out cards faster than what he could get dust. So he was never going to be able to hit that. So he finally decided that, I believe at 1 million followers, it might have been more than that. I don't remember the number.
It was a million. Yeah.
Okay. That he would finally press the button. And the button had a little bit of history behind it. Because I remember Ben Brode talking about this like a year or so ago, that if Crip had pressed that button about a year or so ago, it would have crashed Hearthstone. And they were talking about being afraid of that and having to go in and fix it. But Blizzard themselves didn't even know what would happen when he pressed that button, because they were never able to fully test it on that much dust. But they knew that it wouldn't bring down all of Hearthstone. So, and that did not happen. So that's good. So however, go ahead.
He was talking about that in his stream before he actually pressed the button. He went in and he said that he was talking with Blizzard about what would happen if he did it. And they were like, okay, as long as it just doesn't crash the servers, we're fine. Let's see what happens.
Yeah. So what you're essentially saying is because of Crip's hoarding of dust, we can blame him for getting, you know, waiting 3 years for deck codes and deck importing, exporting. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, because they were too busy trying to make sure that the servers wouldn't crash when he pressed the button finally.
Hashtag blame Crip, please. I'm just kidding. never pick a fight with Crip, that's for sure. I mean, it's something to talk about. It was noteworthy, but there's not really a story here except that somebody amassed over 600,000 dust. So
and when he pressed it, like, you didn't get the animations or anything because it crashed his game.
Yeah.
Womp womp.
Womp womp.
Have you guys seen the Reddit videos of the people who edit it together? They edit it together to make it look like all the stuff was all the bits were going. There's actually a really good Reddit video.
Oh, yep. I haven't seen that. That's really cool.
So you can go watch those videos to be satisfied that you didn't get to see all of the bits get broken down.
Mm. Good. All right. So the next thing that we've got going on here, this one was pretty cool. The Hearthstone Twitter showed us a little bit of a sneak peek into some very preliminary designs of Curse of Naxxramas, and it's pretty interesting. So, like, we're literally looking at a Excel spreadsheet, basically, from the picture that we got here. But here are some interesting. These are my favorite. Mr. Bigglesworth is a 0 mana 0/1 legendary with charge. So, have fun with that, Flame Tongue Totem. And that kind of stuff. That'd be pretty cool. There's also Lotheb 1.0, which is a 6 mana 4/8 legendary that reads health cannot be restored. They haven't clarified on if it's just that minion's health or any health anywhere, but I'm pretty sure it's any health anywhere. Opponent.
That's the way I read it.
Or yeah, they normally say your minion's health cannot be this minion's health cannot be restored, or your character's health cannot be restored, your opponent's health cannot be restored. So I really like that one. And then Shatter is a 4 mana mage spell that destroys all frozen minions. Do you guys have any thoughts on these three cards before we talk about a few others of our favorites?
I think the Lothep 1.0 would have been really interesting. And keep in mind, once this health cannot be restored, I'm sure, you know, this is before any iterations would have happened on getting their correct wording down. It might have probably said all characters' health cannot be restored at some point if it would have gotten released. But I think that's a really cool concept and would have been nice to have had something like that later on during the Reno days. Or, you know, something to that effect where they weren't able to heal. You know, they would have had to get rid of this card in order to end up playing Reno. I think that could have had some really cool interactions. However, the bad thing about this card is it completely screws over Priest, right? Because Priest loses their hero power, and there's no other card in the game, in my opinion, that, like, would hurt a character class that badly.
Priest against aggro at that point, you're pretty much done. So in any aggressive deck, Lothep is going to be like an auto include at that point.
Right, and he's a 4/8, keep in mind. So yeah. Priest already has a difficult time dealing with that.
Yeah, and you can't heal to recover, so it's got to be it's ridiculous on that. What do you think about the Mage Shatter spell card?
You know, I'm not a huge fan of those. Like, I'm just not a huge fan of it. Like, they already have something similar to that where you can kill one minion that is already frozen.
Ice Lance?
Yeah. They have a similar one. I don't remember the card.
The current iteration of
Shatter. Current iteration of Shatter. I'm just like, I never get into a situation where you have a bunch of cards that are going to be frozen unless you use like Blizzard. And then at that point, you're already doing 2 damage to everything. So it doesn't really make a lot of sense to me to combo that.
Like Frost Nova. Like that's it's an additional flame strike that you can put in. And you got to realize at this point, it's next Remus. So the amount of cards that are out are the card pool is really small. So in its time, it could have been pretty interesting because you don't have that many board clears. There are not that many Death Rattle minions.
Freeze Mage was definitely a thing, and you're right, Frost Nova into Shatter would have been extremely powerful, but instead they used Frost Nova with Doomsayer and got the same effect.
Look at you guys. I step away for a minute, and you guys are just going at it. I'm just going to like hit the record button, let it sit. JR, you had a couple of your favorites picked out here.
Yeah, one of my favorite ones that I saw that I thought was really interesting was Saffron, who was a 8 attack, 8 health, 9 mana dragon, basically. It doesn't say dragon on the card, but he would have been a dragon. Battle cry, deal 3 damage to a minion and the minions next to it, then freeze them. So you almost get kind of that Blizzard type effect to a very specific group of minions. And so positioning when you're playing against that card would be very important. And I find that those cards are rather interesting. The other one that I really liked was a paladin spell called Turn Evil, which was for 3 mana, give a random friendly minion +2/+2 and a random enemy minion -2/-2. And I really, really dig this card because you don't see any other cards really in Hearthstone like this, where you are buffing up your guys and at the same time debuffing their guys. And it's random. So I think that's a really cool effect that I would still actually like to see in the game.
The debuff is pretty cool, too, because it's not the normal either deal 2 damage or whatever. It's actually remove that health. So, you can't, if you're a priest or something, you can't heal that up. I feel that that's pretty cool as well. That's a really interesting tidbit of it.
Or if they only had, or if it happened to a 2 health creature, it would have just killed it outright.
Yeah.
Because it can't have 0 health.
Right. Danny, did you have any favorite ones here besides the ones that we've already talked about?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty interesting to look at their original version of Shade of Naxxramas. So, like, we all know what the actual card was. If you don't remember, it's a 2/2 that cost 3 that had stealth, and it had the same effect. But it's it's so much more powerful in the current version. And a lot of the stuff that you see in the original, in all these original cards, that they're way too, they're very powerful. They were like nerfed down in development. This is one of the cards that actually got buffed throughout that process.
Yeah.
And we all know how big Shade of Naxxramas was when Combo Druid was around. When you had to stay above 14 health to stay around, play around Savage Roar and Force of Nature. So it's interesting to see why they buffed that up. I actually think it's pretty cool to see that that was the first form of it.
That's really interesting. I read past it and I didn't even think about that, but it's Shade of Naxxramas was initially a 4-mana 1/1 with the same card text, which is stealth. Stealth. At the start of your turn, gain +1/+1. So that's exactly that current iteration, but it was a 3-mana 2/2, which is a significantly better. They buffed it up and made it cost less. That's a double buff. What we like to
and
talk about
it was a really good card to play in Druid.
Yeah. Played it in a couple of different decks. But yeah, Druid was for sure the one that it saw the most play in. So that went on this weekend as well. And our good friend Kevin Hofdestad tweeted out, I guess he had a hand in kind of helping out bringing that into Twitter. They're like, if you want to get more of this type of insight, let us know and we'll work on cool ways to show you some other different designs and parts about Hearthstone that we may not have seen yet come soon. Okay, so we need to discuss some esports news here because it's been a big week for Wild Hearthstone. And with that, we had the Hearthstone Wild Open qualifiers this week. And so it was the top 64 players who qualified from May. And the top 8 are going to a live finals. So, Danny, can you just give us like a high level overview on what we saw this weekend from this tournament?
Yeah, sure. So all this started back in May with the Play Hearthstone tweeting out the top 64 people on ladder for Wild would be able to participate. So the climb to top 64 happened all last month, and the tournament ended up starting up yesterday. It came to a conclusion at that point, and it was top 64 of each region. So it boiled down. Each region got to put 2 people through to the finals. And I think the finals are being held in California later in July.
Cool. So it is kind of nice. Now, you're a Wild player for the most part. At least that's what you're doing right now for Hearthstone. Is what does this tournament mean for? It's not like your scene, but the scene that you're in. What does this tournament mean for you guys?
This is the first major Wild support that we've gotten, besides the Heroic Tavern Brawl, which happened at about the same time. But it's the first support that we're actually getting, and the community's been really looking forward to have something to rally behind. And being able to say, if you're on ladder and you're playing high legend and standard, you're like, oh, I played against this guy at this point. I play against that guy at this point. Where now you're playing and you're watching these tournaments and you're like, I know this guy. I know this guy. And it's really cool to see some of the standard faces trying to put their hat in the ring in the Wild. Like I saw, you see like Firebat playing some Wild. You have Kibler. You have some other names, Strifecrow making the tournament. You have Silent Storm playing in the NA. You got some big names actually coming through.
Yeah, that was definitely really cool to see. And it was just really nice of a way to like kind of mix it up a little bit, I guess, is the way it kind of felt to me, is just kind of mixing those things up. But I actually found, for me personally, I actually really liked watching the Wild version of Hearthstone. I'm not ready to say like, oh, this is way better and I want this all the time. I don't know if I'm ready to go to that side of the Wild player base yet. But I am willing to say that at least this weekend, I enjoyed watching this over Hearthstone Global Games or Star Ladder, which both, you know, we had Global Games obviously this week and last week, but Star Ladder just concluded. And that says a lot for me. It was the freshness of the decks. You even look, and outside of, I think it was Pirate Warrior, the decks were for the most part pretty diverse in the top eight. Usually there was nothing like, when you look at the top eight of a standard tournament, 7 to 8 of all of the top eights have probably 2 of their 4 or 5 decks shared the same. And in this one, it was maybe one. You know, you've got maybe a third of those players actually have some conflicting deck lists. And that was really refreshing to see. And I think one of the strengths to Wild as a format altogether, were there any decks that performed especially well, or should have performed especially well this past weekend?
Yeah, sure. Aggro Shaman was really good. Blast from the Past. But Aggro Shaman was rolling people over. It was going and it was killing Reno Locks after Reno had been played. And then after like Bran Healbot, it just has so much reach. So Aggro Shaman is actually really powerful in the tournament format. And a couple players capitalized on that.
Turns out 4-mana 7/7s are pretty good, guys.
Especially when they attack face 4 times in a row.
Yeah.
There's one game, I don't remember particularly who, but they just couldn't get rid of the 4-mana 7/7.
Weird. Weird. Who would have thought that you had hard removal by turn 4 and 5? Okay, cool. Here's something I was wondering. As a spectator and as somebody who hasn't spent a lot of time in Wild, in Standard, when you go to the Standard tournaments and you watch these Standard tournaments, the decks are what I would say, for the most part, are very refined, right? Everybody's playing them on the Standard ladder. There's these huge practice groups to make these better. There's weekly cups going on so that you can practice your lineup against other lineups. There's a lot more theory crafting that can be done on your specific decks and your entire lineups for those Standard tournaments. Did you feel that the decks were as refined in a Wild type tournament, or were they a little bit more, dare I say, wild?
Yeah, well, they're definitely not as refined, like you said, due to the amount of practice that you put in Standard. But the one thing I feel was not refined enough was the actual lineups, the class selection, and how you were planning to play. And that might be because the players are all typically ladder players. Whereas in most tournaments that you see nowadays, you'll have players who are dedicated specifically to tournaments. And most of the people who got top 64 legend in Wild were all ladder players. There's an example of one player who is specifically a Mali shaman player. And they got in, and from that point, like, they're known for the Mali shaman, but maybe they might not particularly be as well-versed with some of the other decks.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things that, but obviously playing up at higher legend, you do start to see the same 28 cards in a list. There are refinements, and a lot of people have arguments over what's good and what's not, but we don't have as big of a player base to go and specifically to refine it down with as much play with the decks.
Sure. That makes sense.
And I wonder too, like, even in Standard, though, like, a lot of players that make it to tournaments are also ladder players. And I just wonder if the real difference there might also be the fact that this is the first tournament that we've had for Wild. Therefore, the people that have been playing Wild don't necessarily have that tournament experience that ladder players on the Standard side would have gotten with tons and tons of different open events and things like that, where they are also not only laddering and doing well on the ladder, but also being able to play in these tournaments as well, because Wild just hasn't had the tournament scene.
Yeah, well, I definitely agree. It's the first tournament, like you said, so there's going to be some bumps in the road, but I love Blizzard for coming in and giving us this support and actually showcasing some of it.
Yeah, because if you think back at like the beginning of Hearthstone and its tournament scene, it almost feels very similar in a way, where people were still playing around with how lineups would work and things like that. So it was actually really cool to see, in my opinion, to see that kind of thing where you're kind of taking a step back to nearly 3 years ago when Hearthstone was still fresh.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
Look at you guys talking about all these things and stuff. Okay, so I don't want to spend too much time left on this. I lost my link with the winners. I know it was board control, right? Control from
Control the
Karma.
Board, yeah.
Control the board. Yeah. And I know he was there, but who are kind of some of the top players to qualify? If you don't know off the top of your head, that's totally fine, because I dropped the ball.
Yeah, sure. I don't think I have a list here. I know that McNuggets also made that from NA. I play mostly NA, so I see those guys.
Control from Canada.
Control and McNuggets are two big Wild players. I don't remember who won EU or Asia, unfortunately.
Got it. No worries. Sorry. But on that spot, I'm like, you know what? I never actually went for the final results list because I'm a rank 15 NA podcaster. So let's go into the meta really quick. So this has been, again, a historic week for Hearthstone, because Wild has been getting a lot of love and in Hearthstone right now. And it's been kind of cool and kind of refreshing. We just kind of talked about the Wild Open that we just had this past weekend, and we have more of it coming up soon. But one of the most renowned and utilized tools, the Vicious Syndicate Data Reaper Report, has gone wild. And Danny, you were one of the contributors on this on the article on the content. And so, first of all, tell us how you got involved with Vicious Syndicate for it, and what kind of your contributions have all looked like in taking it from cool, we want to do this, to like, cool, here it is.
Yeah, sure. So we at the Wild Hearthstone subreddit had been releasing a tier list monthly for about 5 or 6 months now. And Vicious Syndicate actually reached out to us. They said that there's always been an interest in the Wild's Data Reaper report, but they didn't have the core staff to actually produce the content. And they had found out that there was enough interest at this moment that they were looking for some content writers to go and start working on it. So they thought that a partnership with us would be perfect to get the ball rolling. And so at the end of when our tier list was released last month, they contacted us, and we've been setting up all the logistics ever since. And we got that out on Sunday.
Awesome. So what did it look like from your perspective? So were you just like, this is what I think? Were you in charge of interpreting some of the data? Contribution look like?
Vicious Syndicate was responsible for getting all of the data. They did all the collection. They went through and they did the class radars, where you would go in and see the cards that are used in each decks, mm-hmm. and sorting all of that out. But we on the Wild Hearthstone staff got together and really, essentially, we analyzed the data with some direction from them, obviously. And then we also went and comprised the deck class reviews.
Got it.
So we got that, and essentially came up with the specific deck lists based off of high legend players and other people who have broken the meta, essentially.
Any particular parts that were pretty heavily you
You can pretty much the introduction and most of the data analysis is me, but it was a huge team effort. We have maybe 10 to 12 people who are working on it. So I don't want to take credit of any one section.
By all means. Yeah. Cool. Well, I mean, hey, that's great. And congratulations to you guys on getting this out. I know, people have really been looking forward to seeing some data based on this. We've had Tempo Storm's Wild Meta Report for a while, but we haven't really seen any hard-coded data on, you know, what the meta really looks like with, you know, thousands of games to back that up. And we finally have that here. And on this show, we'll be the first ones to admit we're kind of wild novices. Danny, you've been listening to the show for a while. We don't talk a lot about Arena. We don't talk a lot about Wild. We're kind of standard tournament dudes. And so this is, you know, definitely kind of new for us to kind of talk about. Do you have any concerns that providing this type of valuable resource, do you think that there's any chance for it to diminish the wildness of Wild?
Well, I wouldn't say it's diminishing the wildness of Wild. Up at the higher ranks, we've been submitting these deck lists and the tier lists for the past 5 or 6 months. And the meta had already been starting to shape up a little bit. Like, you would start to see some net decking at around rank maybe 12 or so. A lot of people make their homebrew decks, and you would really start to get into it. Rank 5, it's just like the standard ladder. You're going to go in, maybe you'll see the off-color deck, but it's typically one of the main archetypes. And now I think with this being able to reach out to more people, it's going to bump that level down a little bit. But the sheer power of the decks in Wild just allow for so much more to happen. Like, it's essentially like in a video game when you have, I don't know, like a sports video game where you have the all-star mode where you can have Michael Jordan play against LeBron James. That's what Wild is. And being able to play all these decks, you can have all the crazy, you have so many decks battling head-to-head, the highest power level.
Yeah.
And just for the record, Michael Jordan would win that every time.
Oh, yeah. I completely agree. Completely agree.
Oh, God. Okay. So, God dang it, JR. So let's talk about some of these decks here. So just to give people kind of a brief overview, and this is using information directly from the Data Reaper report for Wild. For this past week, the first and foremost is, it sounds like, just like in standard, Pirate Warrior plays a pretty significant role in the health of the Wild meta, at least from what I interpreted. Does that sound about right, Danny?
Oh yeah, Pirate Warrior is the guardian at the gates. You have to attack from different oblique angles to try to go and beat Pirate Warrior. If you're trying to be too greedy, essentially Pirate Warrior keeps you in check.
Okay. And what's this? So mid-range Paladin, though, is kind of like, mid-range Paladin has seen kind of an interesting thing. If you look on the screen, or if you check it out later, you'll see mid-range Paladin at all ranks has a 57% win rate. At rank 5 to 1, it's got a 50, I think this is 56. And I think at Legend, it's 55. So it's in 4 percentage points over the next deck, which is Pirate Warrior. So what's going on with mid-range Paladin here?
Sure. So the mid-range Paladin matchup against Pirate Warrior is, really strong. It's extremely strong. I mean, you can win games with mid-range Paladin, and because of that, and you're facing so many, and you're able to spiral out of control against control decks, beat them down with your mid-range cards, and you're able to at least stay competitive with the aggro, just puts it in a prime spot. One of the big things we found, too, was that the mid-range decks in Wilds, because of the new Un'Goro cards, it's one of the most unrefined decks. So its current win rate percentage, and now that we've released this, we expect the play rate of mid-range Paladin and the possibly the percentage played to go up.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that makes sense, right? I mean, if it takes standards lead, you see, oh, this deck is really good. People will play it more. You get more mirror matches, which means that you probably end up with a slightly lower win rate here. Because these win rates include mirror matches, correct?
Yes, they do.
Okay. So you're going to probably see that diminished a little bit. Probably why you see Pirate Warrior too. If you take out like the Pirate Warrior matchups, I would be really interested to see what those win rates look like when you remove the mirror matches. But mid-range Paladin is in a really interesting spot that it's one of those like flourishing decks that's just getting there. You could almost call it a meta breaker, except that its popularity and win rate's so high that you can't really, you know, avoid it, I guess, is what yeah. I would say. So there's a third class that, to me at least, kind of sticks out as really powerful in the wild meta, and that's Shaman. What's going on? A, would you say that those are the three, Paladin, Shaman, and Paladin, Shaman, and Warrior? Or would you say that there might be another class jockeying for that kind of third spot or second spot or all the spots?
Yeah, well, I definitely feel that Shaman is the most versatile class in Wild. You have the it's represented with all its archetypes. You have the aggro Shaman, you have the mid-range Jade Shaman, you have the control Shaman, which is surprisingly good. The reincarnate and having all of those really high-level cards, it's actually pretty good against the Pirates. And you also have the combo variant with Maligos. So I would definitely say that Shaman's pretty high up there.
Cool. Is there, so if you had to, because we can't do it very well, if you had to say, all right, here's Wild, here's what you should prepare for. We're brand new players looking to go in and start playing Wild here in June. And you're like, I want to prepare you as best as I can. And, you know, just a few minutes. What would you tell them about Wild and the ladder?
Sure. Expect to play a lot of Pirates. So that's one of the first things. There's going to be a lot of Pirates on the ladder, and you definitely see that compared to the standard. It's definitely higher. From there, we expect to see a bump in Paladin after this report has been released, because the number one deck typically gets a lot of net deckers. So if you're going into this looking for a meta breaker, my personal opinion is that something like mid-range or aggro Shaman would be good to counter the Paladin, because Paladin typically works in the mid-range more or less like a token type of deck, and having the early board clears like Maelstrom Portal, and then being able to compete with both Pirates and these new upcoming Paladins is going to be really big.
Cool. That makes a lot of sense. JR, anything to add here, or are you fine spectating?
I'm just looking down this list, and I'm going, man, this is like a best of through Hearthstone, in my opinion. You know, you're seeing Reno Lock, you're seeing Control Warrior, you're seeing Aggro Shaman, you're seeing Secret Paladin, and you know, all these decks that through the times have aggravated me, and I have also played. I think the thing that sucks the most about this, though, and this is a completely different topic, so I won't go deep into it, is the fact that they nerfed cards instead of moving them to the Hall of Fame earlier. For example, we would probably see a lot more mid-range Shaman or mid-range Druid.
If you had
these lists. Face Hunter, for example, we'd probably see more of, and things like that, if they had chosen to move cards to the Hall of Fame instead of just nerfing them outright. So, Handlock would be a huge
I was an old school Handlock player. I was really pissed when they nerfed the.
Yeah. Yeah. And I really wish that we would see those decks in here, and I think it's kind of unfortunate that we don't. But these other ones, Blast of the Past, if you really want to go back and play those decks, I highly recommend to take up Wild and play that old stuff.
Well, and it's the kind of thing too where you're not going to get left in the cold, right? Where hopefully this is the first of a more consistent way for Wild players to have fun and have something to work towards, if that makes sense. You know, for me, it's honestly, I think if you gave me HCT Standard and HCT Wild, I might gravitate towards HCT Wild. I honestly, based on the conversation,
yeah, it's a refreshing experience.
Yeah, it's really cool, and like that might be something I want to do. There are obvious reasons why HCT Standard is the premier format for Hearthstone, but getting this type of consistent exposure going forward, I think, could be great for the Hearthstone scene overall. And I think that this is a really cool thing that the Hearthstone team is doing. I hope that they continue to keep doing it. And, you know, hopefully from there we see some more cool stuff, because it is very much something that, you know, you put it as LeBron James versus Michael Jordan. It's the all-star games when it comes to this. Something that really surprised me, though, and it's kind of echoed in Standard right now, too, though, is that we don't have any Warlock decks in tier one or tier two. Can you speak at all to why, like, I expected Zulok to be great in Standard. That was one of the first things I looked for, but it looks, at least according to this information, that Warlock isn't doing so hot right now.
Yeah, Zoo isn't too strong against the aggro warrior. When you're playing against pirates, they just have such an explosive start. And especially in Wild, you have ship's cannon, which is devastating against in the warlock matchup. The ships can't, because warlock's playing for board control. And essentially what aggro warrior is, it's a faster version of Zoo. So it's not an aggressive, I mean, it is an aggro deck, but it's best to consider it like you would consider a faster Zoo deck. It's more board control in the first 2-3 turns and then take over.
Got it. What about Hunter? Because Hunter is also one that's kind of missing from those top tier decks. What's going on with Hunter right now?
Yeah, Hunter, it's in a bit of a weak spot, but there are definitely some people who are trying to innovate with Hunter. I know one person, Zed, who's actually going Legend, playing exclusively Hunter in Wild. So it's definitely possible to go and... He's playing some mid-range Hunter. It's definitely possible to go and push yourself at that point. No deck is essentially dead in Wild. You have enough tools. If you counter the meta properly, you can go in and get some pretty good wins.
I'm curious to how much Reno might affect Hunter, because I feel like that was the card that really neutralized Hunter when it came out. And I'm curious if that's the same in Wild or not.
Yeah, back maybe about 2 or 3 seasons ago, I would definitely agree with you on that. But mid-range Paladin at the moment is actually knocking all of the Reno decks down a notch. And that's why you'll see Reno Lock and Reno Priest and Reno Mage a little bit lower than you would expect. I think it's because of the mid-range Pally. And from there, I think that you're going to see an uptick in Hunters, because now you don't have to deal with Reno healing them back up, and you can just push... Keep tapping the hero power.
Yeah. It is a very interesting thing. I mean, looking at these, the Wild Power rankings, you have 12 decks between 48 and 52%. And then you've got a few higher, 3 higher. And then you've got some that are lower. Mid-range Hunter, at least according to this one, is the lowest rated class at 44%, 45% across the board. So it's really interesting to me to see. I honestly, outside of, don't get me wrong, 57, 56, 50, 55% win rate for a top tier deck is huge. That's really high. A 57% win rate deck probably wouldn't stay the same in a standard format. I think 55 is where they start looking at nerfing and making some changes. That's Undertaker Hunter Days, I believe, is 55. That's Grim Patron as well at Top Tier Legend. So besides that, it actually looks really similar and really balanced toward, as an actual balanced, quote unquote, balanced meta, even when compared to standard. And it really seems to me the only advantage to standard is that you remove cards as you add them rather than just add. So I think that's really cool. Is there anything else that you guys want to hit on here in the first Vicious Syndicate Data Reaper report? Anything that you think our listeners should know about?
I think we covered it up pretty well. I want to thank Vicious Syndicate for helping us, let us get this whole report out and get it out to the community.
Yeah. No, that is really cool that they do that. And big thanks to all the people who put in that hard work, because that's a lot of hard work. Okay. Like, it's that type of stuff. It's not simple, and it takes a lot of dedicated and passionate people to make that happen. So kudos to you, first of all, Danny, for being one of those dedicated, passionate people. And kudos to Vicious Syndicate for bringing those people together. That's like really cool. I do have some bad news though. And the bad news is, because of how long we talked about Wild, we really don't have time to talk about sequencing this week. So we're going to just pocket it, I think, and do it a different week, because I want to give that the time that it needs to go. So next week, hopefully, we're going to talk about some sequencing in Hearthstone. And man, Danny, dude, you crushed it this week, man. I really enjoyed having you on the show and bringing your expertise, because not only are you like an expert at Wild stuff, you're just like a Hearthstone expert. You think about the game. I was still complimenting you. So you think about the game very interestingly and deeply. So I want to thank you, for being willing to come onto the show with us this week.
Oh, it was a pleasure to be on. I'm honored that you guys let me come on the show. Yeah. It was a really fun time.
Awesome. And if you want to hear more from Danny Donuts, send us emails to wellmet@blizzpro.com, and I can make it happen. I think I can make it happen. Anyways, let's go ahead and get out of here. If you've got ideas for the show, comments or questions, send us your emails to wellmet@blizzpro.com. And Patreon, we do want to thank our new patrons, John T, Justin T, and Matthew S. We did miss a show last week, which means that we're actually going to do a makeup episode. And I can't confirm who it's with yet, but I'm going to be sitting down with a pretty amazing community member doing a little one-on-one talking about Hearthstone, and it's going to be pretty fun. I'm hoping to do that this week or next week, so that'll be on soon. So you're going to get a bonus episode later in the month. Anything going on in iTunes land, JR?
It does not look like we have any new iTunes reviews this week. However, if you would like to give an iTunes review, just head over to iTunes, type in, do a search by podcast, type in Hearthstone. Should find Well Met right there. If you leave a 5-star review, we will thank you on the show next week.
Yeah.
And I will mispronounce your name or pronounce your name correctly. Either one could happen. Let's see what happens. So leave a 5-star review.
Yes. And by the way, we do want to thank our Well Met legends, Albert T, The Real Ben, and Corel. Thank you so much for your support of the show. And if you're like, hey, this show is pretty cool, I really appreciate the free content that they put out every week. And, here's a cup of coffee every month or whatever. Head on over to patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. Find out how you can get involved. Our Discord is hopping. We're having awesome conversations about Hearthstone all throughout the week. And we'd love for you to join us, patron or not. at discord.me/wellmetpodcast. All right, Danny, this is the part of the show where you get to talk about everything. Where can people find you? Who do you want to thank? All that kind of stuff. Go ahead.
Yeah, sure. So I want to thank all of the, first off, I want to thank Vicious Syndicate for helping us to produce this Wild report and get all of this rolling. I also want to thank all of the Wild experts who helped on our team to write the report. I want to put, you can follow me on Twitter at DannyDonuts_HS. And I want to implore that you guys check out our Discord. You want to go to the R Wild Hearthstone Discord and the Ask Hearthstone Discord. We got some really good conversations going on. Like I said earlier, some of the top Wild players are in the Wild Hearthstone. I think we got 10 people into the tournament. And two of the top NA finishers are both in the Discord. So come check it out. We're a bunch of really cool people.
Awesome.
Like to have a lot of fun.
That's awesome. I'm joining up right after this. JR, what about you, man? Shoutouts for the week, and where can people find you?
I need to give a shout out to Danny here for coming on the show and giving us that Wild knowledge. And I learned a lot this show, so I'm sure our listeners did as well.
It was a lot for us too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If you want to find me, just go over to Twitter at Eldorian. And I'm hoping to, I keep saying this, I really want to live stream sometime. I'm really playing Friday the 13th right now, and I'm having a lot of fun. It feels like a fun game to stream. I might try at some point over at Eldorian BP, which is my Twitch channel. Awesome. Who knows? We'll see what happens.
I will J up for that, for sure. I will be there spectating. I don't have the game, but I started playing the Flavor of the Month game, PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds. And
yeah, I've been wanting to play that too.
Dang, it's an interesting, my nerves can't handle it, man. It's so intense the whole time. I tried to stream it. Tried to do like a little celebration drinking stream for hitting 800 followers on my Twitch account. And it did not go well. We switched to Overwatch pretty quick. But there's a mode where you can go in with a whole squad of like four, and I think that would be really fun to do. So anyways, as for me, you can find me everywhere at Kick Tripod, or just go to kicktripod.com, and you can find links to the shows and my Twitch and Discords and everything else. I would also love for you to come join me on my Twitch stream, twitch.tv/kicktripod. I took a couple days off because Katie just got back from Austin, and so she's back, and then she's leaving tomorrow, so I didn't stream yesterday or today, but I will be going into the future, so twitch.tv/kicktripod again. Love to hang out with you, but that's going to do it for us. Thank you for joining us for episode 111 of Well Met. You can find us on twitch.tv/blizzbro at 7 p.m. Pacific time on Mondays. And also find more awesome Hearthstone content throughout the week at hearthstone.blizzpro.com. Tweet us at WellMetPodcast or email us at WellMet@blizzpro.com with comments, questions, and ideas you have for the show. Thank you so much for hanging out with us for episode 111. We'll see you next week for 112. Bye, guys.